Well, welcome to Cornerstone Church's online podcast. This is Pastor Barry. Hope and pray that you will be ministered to as you listen to today's sermon.
Simon's going to minister God's word to us. Would you go ahead and give a warm Cornerstone welcome to Pastor Simon Ayrton?
Thank you, Barry. Oh, this is my spot, right? Thank you, Barry, for your kind words. Man, you've been such a blessing to us, such an encouragement to us. Words can't express how we feel about you. It's just awesome. Cornerstone Church, don't you have a great pastor? I'm glad they said yes. Yeah. Well, church, I'm excited to come and share with you this morning, and let's pray as we prepare ourselves to hear God's word. My perspective is I'm just excited. Whenever we get to look into the Word of God, I just have this confidence that the Holy Spirit's going to speak to us. So let's kind of, and He's going to speak to me, I'm sure, as well through this. So let's pray together. Lord, we thank you for this opportunity that we've got right now to hear from you. Lord, when you were here, this is the phrase you said, that those who have ears, let them hear. Let those have minds and hearts can understand. And so we just thank you, Lord, that in this moment we can prepare ourselves to receive from you. And I pray the Holy Spirit, your presence would be here, impacting us and translating what's said to something that makes a difference in our lives. That we go out of here this morning with a new direction, a new focus, and new encouragement because of what you said. Amen. Amen. I was going to introduce us a little bit, but Barry's already done that. But also, just to mention, you probably can tell that we're not from Canada originally. We're from the UK. Zoe and I met there 18 years ago. And then on a grand adventure, kind of God led us to Canada to connect with our Foursquare family, and we eventually became pastors. You know, as I was thinking about that, it's interesting for me to kind of like look back over the things that have happened and the way that God leads us through life and in our journey. And for us, like, there was a real sense of God calling us to be in Whitehorse, to be with Foursquare, to connect with people. There was a purpose that God had in it. And as I was praying about what to share today, I felt the Holy Spirit lead me to that topic, to that idea, to talk about the topic of purpose and the topic of kind of God's purpose for us and following that. And I'm hoping that this isn't too simple or fundamental, but there's times in life when I think that it's good to be refreshed or reminded of some things. You know, that's what Peter said in 2 Peter 1:12. He said, "Therefore, I intend always to remind you of these qualities, though you know them and are established in the truth that you have." So perhaps you already know some of this morning, but actually, I just feel like God's on this, and for us to kind of dig into that and refresh ourselves with what God's calling us to and who he's made us to be. So we're going to, a good place to start is to go to Scripture, right? So would you turn with me, if you have a Bible with you? Perhaps some of you even have a physical Bible. I mean, that's a rare thing nowadays. But if you have a device, you can scroll with me or swipe, whatever you do. Ephesians 2, 4 to 10. Ephesians chapter 2, starting at verse 4, going to verse 10. When you found it, give me a little whoop of delight. Oh, yeah, good. There's one person. Okay, you ready? Just before I start, the good thing to kind of be reminded of is just before this section, Paul's been talking about how we were lost without God. He was talking about the fact that we were far from God, we were enemies of God. But then this passage starts with the greatest two-word phrase ever, "but God." And aren't we excited about that? "But God, being rich in mercy, because of the great love with which he loved us, even when we were dead in our trespasses, made us alive together with Christ. By grace you have been saved, and raised us up with him and seated us with him in the heavenly places in Christ Jesus, so that in the coming ages he might show the immeasurable riches of his grace in kindness towards us in Christ Jesus. For by grace you have been saved through faith. And this is not your own doing, it's the gift of God, not a result of works, so that no one may boast. For we are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus for good works, which God prepared beforehand that we should walk in them. It's this last verse, verse 10, I want us to focus on. For we are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus for good works, which God prepared beforehand that we should walk in them. I want to pull, there's so much in this passage, we could be here all day, which I'm sure you would love. We would have to kind of order takeout or something. But there's so much in here, but I want to pull a few things out of that last verse. And there's three words I want us to pay attention to. I have a little bit of a Baptist background back in the day. So I have this thing that I just love it whenever there's three points that all start with the same letter. There's something deep inside that kind of just resonates and kind of feels at home. So I want to look at our workmanship, our works, and our walk. Because in this verse, there's this first thing, workmanship. We are his workmanship. The sense of this word is of something that's crafted, something that's been made, something that's been put together. When I was a kid, like my grandfather was, he was a potter. He made clay pots, and I used to be in his potting studio, quite often watching what he did. And he would have his potting wheel, and he would slam the clay down in the middle, and kind of like wrestle it into place and shape it. And kind of use his hands and water to kind of like mold it and make it into what he wanted it to be. And there's a sense of this word workmanship that means that idea of being crafted and shaped by the Lord himself. How do you feel about that? Can you say that over yourself? That do you feel like that you are his workmanship? I wonder if that's something that's challenging for us at times, because we see, we maybe sometimes some of us focus on all the stuff we don't like, or the stuff that we don't think is great. But I think through God's eyes, in his eyes, through Jesus, he sees you and says, man, you are my workmanship. I'm making you. And I think it's a process. It's a process of being made, right? It's not just something that happens. It's God is continually shaping us and molding us. And I just love that picture of the potter and the clay, which we find in Scripture, which is this idea that if we allow ourselves to be molded by his touch, then he's shaping us into what he wants us to be. You know, and one of the things about that idea of workmanship is that whenever you create something, you create it for a reason. You create it for a purpose. There's purpose in being made. The second word I want to look at is it says about our works, that we are created for good works. I wonder where you feel or where you're at on that subject or word, because, you know, that word works is kind of interesting. We're not saved by our works, but we are kind of saved for works. Does that make sense? We're not saved by works, but we're saved for works. There's something about being active in your faith that's essential. There's something about being involved and following what Jesus is calling you to. That you have a purpose, you've been created for a reason to do something with gifts and abilities and talents and passions. I'm a big basketball fan. We're big basketball fans. We do support the Toronto Raptors because we are Canadian citizens, but we do have a soft spot for the Golden State Warriors, if you're interested in that. But one of the things about basketball is, if you know anything about the sport, there's a bunch of players that are the best players, and they start off on the court. But then everybody else is on the bench until they're called up. And the interesting thing about that, when I think about that, is that that's not a true reflection of what the Christian life is really supposed to be about. There is no bench. Everybody is on the court. And in fact, that's where Jesus is. So for us as believers and followers of Jesus, it's like, it's time to be on the court with him, doing what he's created us to do. So our works are important, what he's created us for, There's a purpose in that. And the third thing, the third word I want to bring out of that short verse in verse 10 is the word walk. Our workmanship, our works, and our walk. That God has created us in advance. He's kind of given us these situations that we should walk in them, this kind of purpose that he's made us, that we should walk in it. And I kind of like the idea that in so many different scriptures, there's this relation to the pace of life. Paul talks about the fact that life with Jesus is like a marathon, and you need to pace yourself. And then Jesus is saying, also he says, come to me, those who are weary and heavy laden, and take my yoke upon yourself. In other words, kind of walk with me, kind of be with me at my pace as we go through life. You know, I love the fact that our purpose is to walk with Jesus, to put one step in front of another. And I don't know about you, but sometimes in life, I don't always know how to get to the end goal, to the mountain, to the horizon. But often I know how to walk. I know how to. I can see what the next step is. And I wonder whether sometimes in life we get confused because we're trying to figure out where to go. But sometimes actually with Jesus, we just know how to take the next step with him, to just keep walking. One time with a friend of mine, we were in a particularly sort of hilly or mountainous part of the UK. And we'd got our bikes and we'd climbed up this mountain pass. We got onto this plateau at the top. And then all of a sudden, the weather closed in and this fog kind of happened in literally a few minutes. And before we knew it, we couldn't literally see our hands in front of our faces. We were lost. We just didn't know where we were going. And we wanted to kind of find this particular track to kind of go down the mountain, but we just didn't know where we were. Thankfully, we had a map, and this was a long time ago before GPS. So we had a map and a compass, and we studied that, and we tried to find our bearings, and we went in a particular direction. But then we also met somebody. In the fog, we met somebody else who then pointed us in the direction that we were supposed to go. And I look back at that time and think, man, isn't that like the Christian life? Sometimes you're in a place where it's all kind of all foggy, you're not sure where to go, but we've got the word of God, we've got a compass, and we've got a map for life. But then as we start to go, we meet somebody, we meet Jesus, who shows us the way, and he's got a purpose and a plan and a path for us. You know, one of the things I want to just kind of point out is that everybody has a purpose. Our purpose is the objective of or goal of our lives. And when you said yes to Jesus, that purpose then became something that he is now kind of communicating and leading and calling you into. I've sometimes in being a pastor kind of get to this point where some people I've spoken to get a bit overwhelmed or confused about what is my purpose in life? What is my calling? What has God asked me to do? There's this sometimes a very specific sense that we have of like, I need to be in the exact vocation, the exact time, the exact place, the exact thing that God has set out for me. And we get very, if we're not careful, and all those things are good, but we can get super intense about trying to find that out. And like, man, like, trying to pinpoint the exact kind of like bullseye, if you think, of what our purpose is. But I want to suggest to you that actually, no matter what you're doing, no matter where you are, no matter what your job is, or whether you even work at all, there is a purpose that you have in Jesus that transcends all of those things. And I use these three words to sum up our purpose: commandment, commission, and mission. Commandment, and this is going to be stuff that you kind of know about, hopefully. Matthew 22:37-38, Jesus says, You shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, and with all your mind. This is the great and first commandment. And the second is like it. You shall love the neighbor as yourself. That is one of the foundational transcendent purposes that we have as believers, as followers of Jesus. No matter where you're at, maybe you're a stay-at-home mom. Maybe you work in a grocery store. Maybe you've got a position of leadership. Maybe you're a pastor. But no matter what, we have a purpose to fulfill the great commandment, to love others, to love our neighbors as we love ourselves. That's the first thing. That's a purpose that you have. So no matter who you are, where you are, what you're doing, that's what you're called to. That's your purpose in Jesus. And the second is commission. And I'm sure some of you can guess, but again in Matthew 28, go and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit, teaching them to observe all that I have commanded you, and behold, I'm with you always to the end of the age. That not only the commandment, the great commandment, but also the great commission is our purpose as well. We're called to make disciples, to reach people for Jesus. If everybody was a pastor, we'd be in trouble. If everybody was in church ministry, there'd be a whole bunch of people out there that won't meet Christians. We need people. I just want, there's a bit of a thing sometimes in church life that we think that church ministry is kind of like the ultimate goal or something, that it's extra special. I don't think that's the case at all. I think that God wants you and you and you in all the places that he's placed you, in the places of work, in the places, the schools, the connections with families, like the governments, the education place, all those places, God wants people who are sold out and understand their purpose in him to reach people and to show them Jesus. So I say this quite a lot, that I really want to meet people, but I hope when they meet me, they don't just meet Simon, because if they're going to meet Simon, as great and awesome as I am, there's someone who I want them to meet more. I want them to meet Jesus. And I just feel like that's what God wants. He wants people on fire for the purposes of his kingdom and all these different places wherever they're at. The last thing that I would say is always true about your purpose is that you have a purpose in the Great Commandment, you have a purpose in the Great Commission, but you also have a purpose in the mission of Jesus. Because Jesus had a mission when and he said what it was. And man, this is one of my favorite passages, because his mission is something that we're invited into. He says this, the Spirit, he quoted Isaiah, he said, the Spirit of the Lord is upon me, because he has anointed me to proclaim good news to the poor. He has sent me to proclaim liberty to the captives and recovering of sight to the blind, to set at liberty those who are oppressed, to proclaim the year of the Lord's favor. I believe that as followers of Jesus, it's an invitation for us to be on his mission with him, like on the basketball court, to be on the court with him, doing things with him, alongside him. That's what he's about. He wants to release people. He wants to proclaim good news to people. He wants to free people. He wants to heal people. He wants to proclaim the year of the Lord's favor. How many of you have encountered people who don't know Jesus, but they think that God is mad at them? They think that God doesn't like them. They think that God is somehow a judge over them. But here's this Jesus saying, I want to proclaim the year of the Lord's favor, that God is favorable towards you. He wants to invite you he wants you to be in relationship with him. That's what he wants. And man, that's an exciting, if I just have inside of me, this is me getting excited, by the way. I know British people have a reputation of not getting excited, but this fires me up, man, because if we as a church were even just fulfilling that, this city would not be the same. Canada would not be the same. Amen? Like, that's, man, if this stuff was happening, this would be huge. And so whoever you are and whatever you're doing, just understand that there's a purpose that God has for you. And this is our purpose. To be out about the work of our Savior, Jesus. To be loving on people, to be sharing the good news with them, to proclaiming liberty to them. That, if you're anything like me, you might feel like that's a pretty big order. That's a pretty big task. Like, how is that possible? And I think that for me, I've felt that a lot of times. You know, I know that pastors are supposed to be, they have it all together all the time. They never have a problem. Their lives are perfect. They never encounter something that's challenging or tricky. That's not who pastors are at all. They have challenges as well. We have challenges. You have challenges. But, you know, living for Jesus is, I believe, supposed to be impossible. Because there's only one way that it can be possible, and that is because of the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit's been given to us to give us the strength and the power and the ability to live for Jesus as he wants us to. And so we need the Holy Spirit to fulfill our purpose. I need the Holy Spirit. Barry needs it maybe probably less than me. But but that's what we need the Holy Spirit for, right? We need to for him to be present in our... I just suggest to you, hey, whenever you get up in the morning, just ask for him to fill you. Ask for him, just the first thing you do. Don't be tempted just to look at your phone, first thing you do. Or whatever you do, make a coffee or whatever it is. Just as soon as you wake up, say, hey, Holy Spirit, fill me afresh. I need you today because I want to fulfill your purposes in my life. So I have one final question as we start to kind of like bring this to a close. My question is, are you living on purpose? Are you living on purpose? And that phrase has got kind of little two meanings to it. Because are you living on purpose in the sense of like, are you intentional? Are you being intentional about your life in terms of the way that you're living and making choices about what you do and don't do according to how God has called you and according to the purpose that he's given you? Are you shaping your life according to who you've been created to be, as this passage has said? Are you living on purpose? The greatest challenge that I think we face in our lives is that we live in a busy culture. We live in a culture where things are kind of coming at us left, right, and center, that it's easy just to get caught up in social media or the news, or man, if you're a family, you're taking your kids this place, that place, whatever, like whatever's, there's just a lot going on for people. And I just wonder, like, when Jesus told this story about the parable of the sower, there was a seed that fell on the ground and it started to take root, but the weeds grew up. Do you remember that story? It said that the cares of life choked out the life that was growing. And the people I know, and even in my life as well, that's something I feel like we've got to really take a stand against. That these cares of life around us are trying to choke out the fire that we have for living on purpose for Jesus. And I wonder whether we're living on purpose with intention. But the other way you could hear that is, are you living on the purpose that God has created for you? Are you living on Jesus' purpose? Are you living on purpose? Are you, again, when your perspective of life is not that Sunday is the time when you're spiritual. It's not that Sunday is the moment when you do the Christian stuff. Actually, it's the rest of the week that's the time when God wants to work through us and impact people and change people, and he wants to love people through us and share his good news with people through us. I wonder, are you thinking about that when you go to work on a Monday morning or whatever you do? Are you praying for people in your workplace? Are you asking God to create opportunities for you to share something with people? Are you understanding that you're kind of like sort of an undercover agent of the kingdom that's been put in this place to actually shape it and impact it for the good of who he is? That's who you are. You're not just somebody who's got a job during the week and then come to church on a Sunday. And even if you don't have a job, whether you're someone at home, I'm just so passionate about those who are homemakers, because you're doing a great work for the kingdom as well in terms of what you do and how you do it and how you impact people. The relationships you have with other families is that God has got so much in store for you in terms of his purpose and how he can impact people through you. So are you living on purpose? This is actually a question that for Zoe and I, we felt was impacting for us at the start of this year. It may kind of may sound a bit funny for us to say this, but like when you're in ministry, you can get caught up in a lot of things that you're doing, but that doesn't necessarily mean you're always doing what God has called you to do. There's just a lot of busyness. And actually for us, for Zoe and I, like we felt like at the start of the year that God was calling us again afresh to kind of say no to some things and yes to others, and to actually start to reach out to people. We moved house and we're then in a neighborhood where we had some really good relationships with people who lived around us. So we started to invite people into our homes. Connections through Zoe's work and connections that I had in the community, we started to invite people to come and have dinner with us and just to be with us. For us, this is personal. It's not just a message that I feel like I just want to give out. This is something that we've felt personally, we've been impacted by this year, which is that, are we actually just getting consumed with all the stuff of life and forgetting to reach out to the people that he wants to reach out to? And we're on the journey of that. We're not kind of perfect or in any means kind of achieving that in the way that we want to yet, but we're making a move towards it. We're making a step towards it. So that's us. So as I close, as we close together, I think there's three possibilities of response to this. One is that maybe some of you here may need to realize that your specific vocation does not prevent you from living for the purpose of God. Maybe you need to realize that, like, whatever you do, it isn't about changing that to then become more spiritual or more able to live for the purpose that God has for you. He wants to use you wherever you're at right now, in the specific place that you are. And I think maybe some of you need to just realize that afresh, that actually there's a reason why you are where you are. And he wants to use you, and he has a purpose for you in that place. Secondly, perhaps some of us, maybe God's calling you to move or shift the priorities of your life more towards the mission of Jesus. Maybe as you're hearing this, you're thinking, oh man, I could just sense that the Holy Spirit's kind of putting his finger on some things in my life that maybe I need to make more room for him, or maybe make more room for inviting people into my life, or to reach out to people that don't know Jesus. Or maybe there's some other things that he's calling you, but there's a sense of the fact that, like, oh, this is a time to recalibrate. That the mission of Jesus needs to be right front and center in who I am as a follower of Jesus. This is who I'm called to be. This is his purpose for me. And I need to probably recalibrate a bit and kind of like shift some things around. So actually, when I'm planning my week and my month or whatever, it's like that's front and center in what I do. Or maybe lastly, you're somebody that you feel like you're already living on purpose. But if that's you, I want to encourage you to actually bring along some others with you. So maybe you feel like you are living on purpose, but I want to say, hey, find some other people to encourage. Find some other people to bring along with you. Find some other Christians. If you're in a workplace, there might be other Christians there. Like, wouldn't it be awesome if you could pray with them for your workplace? When I worked for a bank a long time ago, spent 7 years working for one of the major banks in the UK, and I found out that out of the 150 people working in this particular like business center, that a couple of others were Christians. And so we started to get together and pray for our workplace and pray for relationships and pray for each other. And maybe God would, if you're living on purpose, maybe that's something that you don't want to keep to yourself, but actually try and include others in. It's that image of like being on the court, the basketball court. You're not all playing six individual games. You're all there together with Jesus playing. So why not encourage someone else around you to do that and pray for that opportunity? So again, I want to say, as we close, that we would receive this, for we are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus for good works, which God prepared beforehand that we should walk in them. Would you stand with me? I'll pray, but am I it? Or is there a... Okay, good. Smooth as silk. Let's pray together. Lord Jesus, first of all, we thank you so much. We thank you that no matter what our own assessment of ourselves is, whether we are conscious of our flaws or overconscious of our strengths, whatever it is, that we can say from Scripture that we are your workmanship. You've created us with a purpose. You've shaped us and you continue to mold us. Now, Lord, help us to know the value that we have because of that. That we are valuable in your sight. And you've created us for a reason. You've created us for a purpose. Father, I pray that Holy Spirit would come and fill us afresh right now, so that we would have inside of us this strengthening towards who you've made us to be. The Holy Spirit, you would start to give us opportunities, courage, hope, so that we could see that it's possible to live in such a way that we're, the mission of your kingdom is right at the forefront of our lives. And Lord, that you want to use us, no matter how qualified or unqualified you think that we think we are, that you want to use us in a place that we're at for the good of your kingdom. You want to impact people around us. You want to show your love to people around us. So we pray, Lord, would you this week, even tomorrow, even today, would you start to bring to us opportunities to share who you are with other people? And Lord, right now, as we think about that, I'm sure there's in our minds, there's people coming to mind, people in our workplace, people in our families, people that don't know you yet. Lord, we pray for them right now. Would you give us opportunities to share you with them? Lord, we just trust that you're at work and you want to work through us. Amen.
Simon, thank you so much for your time in ministry with us. And, you know, as Simon was talking, I was thinking about the greatest purpose that Christ creates us with is to have a relationship with him. And sometimes, as Si talked about, the cares of this world come and choke things out. We get distracted. And so I just want to take a moment, and if there's anyone here this morning or anyone watching online who doesn't have that relationship with the Lord, or that somehow that relationship has grown distant, you can have a fresh start right now. I'm going to pray a prayer, and I'd invite you to pray along with me, just from your heart, and that God would give us a fresh start today. For some, it may be the very first time you pray this. For some, it might be the first time in a long time. Goes like this. Lord Jesus, thank you for loving me so much that you would pay the penalty for my sin by dying on the cross in my place. I believe you rose to life again and now offer me a new life with you. I ask you to forgive me for my sin and cleanse me from the inside out. I invite you into my life as my Lord and Savior. Fill me with your Holy Spirit and help me to live for you all the days of my life. Thank you for forgiving me. Thank you for saving me. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. I'm going to invite the worship team to come join me here, and we're going to close with a song from Foundation. But you know, even as we prayed that prayer, there was someone here last week who prayed that prayer for the very first time. They came and responded to the time of a prayer that we have after the service, and they gave their heart to Jesus. And they ended up just being passing through, but we're in touch with them and into the community where they have moved to. We're connecting them with people who love the Lord and can help them grow in their relationship with the Lord. But isn't that great news that someone came to Christ last week? And may there just be a continual flow of people who would come to find Jesus among the people of God.
Thank you for joining us for today's edition of Cornerstone Church's online podcast. May God continue to richly bless you and lead you as we follow Jesus together.